A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Cap-wise, you're sort of medium to large. If they fit me, they tend to fit you. Yeah. I've never got it wrong. That's
big
fine.
Head, thank you very much.
Yeah, not medium to large is fine. Anyway, here we go. This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. My last one for a few days.
Yes,
I'm having a bit of a break. But Andy will be with Max and Andy Goldstein as well for the next few days. But anyway, we brought you Steve First, actor and comedian. Tell us about his new film and his new show.
Normally football first, but it was Steve.
Steve First, yeah, spelt differently, but there we are. We had a bit of a chat, covered some ground.
We did.
Andy took us through one or two of his brilliant impressions. Rugby league man popped up.
He was good.
With some summer crib sheet. And we found out how the Borough players are kind of getting a great team spirit. They get locked in a room, don't they? Yes. Have to get themselves out.
It's better than it sounds.
It does. Here it all is.
Past one. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Andy. Good afternoon, boy. I love that story about the sniffer dogs at athletic events. I look forward to seeing the dog chasing some of the competitors in the 100 metres.
Yeah, well,
they just sort of let him go.
It might liven things up in the Commonwealth Games, mightn't it, really? So,
yeah. Like, you know that thing when they show how good police dogs are and you always wear a thing on your arm and the dog just goes for your arm like that?
So they're all kind of lined up and then someone says, release the hounds.
Yeah.
And then they chase them off.
Okay. I think it'll work for me.
Yeah, right, good. Okay, yeah. I'll watch it.
Watching the game last night, I thought it was, you were more tense, you know, disappointed Spurs weren't brilliant. But from a neutral point of view, it was a really interesting game tactically. It was a much better 0-0 in the first half than it had been the night before, where it was just error upon error. But this was more tactical. I enjoyed the game, as Ray would say.
I drew your attention to something that I've not heard anybody mention at all in that. And no, it's a big ask, I know, because Chelsea are not having the best time of it at the moment. But Tottenham have got 8 points on Chelsea at the moment. But Chelsea play on Thursday, don't you, against Burnley?
Yeah, it's a hard game.
Nobody has picked this up yet at all. If Chelsea were to win those two outstanding games, Tottenham, they then play Swansea before Spurs play Watford. Spurs next play against Watford in the league on a Monday night. If Chelsea were to win both those games, they will be 2 points behind Tottenham. 2 points.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show you what an idiotic season Chelsea have had. They've, basically thrown away points against West Ham, could have got a point at least against Tottenham after that first half, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
What I'm saying, so, it's not the
and I wouldn't worry
top
about
four,
it because
the top four race is not run.
Oh, they, for Chelsea have got so many problems. You would not fancy them beating Burnley on Thursday night in any shape or form. I mean, yeah, maybe a draw, but I can't see them getting a win.
Serge Aurier, I think it's the third pen he's given away this season. Well done.
Pen, doesn't he?
I think you saw Sissoko last night, watched him for 90 minutes.
Terrible.
Don't quite get that, do you? I mean, no. Everybody leaps to his defence, and I don't want to be understanding, but not for me, Beaky, as Big Alan would say.
They were a bit lucky, really, Spurs, with the first goal, because it could have gone out. The way it stayed along the line was amazing.
But, he did well, very well, Son. That's not as good as the Alderweireld back. I mean, he didn't have a lot to do, but he's a bit ring-rusty.
It's an interesting thing, though, with Tottenham, because Alderweireld and, now we heard yesterday, Moussa Dembele may leave this summer. And what this is, not that they don't like being at Spurs, because they obviously do, but these are older players in their prime who realise they can earn more money. And so it's,
well, it's one more big payday for them, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
Really?
One it's last not good payday. For the club. It's all right if you can keep replacing these players, that's fine.
Hmm.
But if you can't, it's not good if some of the, you know, you need a mixture in the squad. One of the good things about Spurs is it is a mixture of young players and some experienced players. And so, you know, it's not ideal if those players like those two start to
move. I personally think Dembele probably will be there next year, but I don't think Alderweireld will be. I think that might be the club's decision, really. Hmm. I mean, it's a shame, but it sounds like he wants out, so...
I think, though, did top players, at the end of the game, Christian Eriksen swapped his shirt with Pascal Gross.
Mm.
I was just wondering, do top players only keep the shirts they swap with other top players? You know, like, did Christian Eriksen take home his Pascal Gross shirt? He might have done. He might like the player. You know, he might think he's a great player. Or did he just basically give it to the kit man and say, yeah, do something with that?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they know each other. But
yeah, no. I'm just wondering. You know,
there have been situations in the past with players.
You know, Cristiano Ronaldo, for example, must have swapped his shirt with a lot of players. Yeah. I bet he doesn't have a whole collection.
Do you think he does an Alan Sugar? Does he wash the car with it?
Maybe he
does. Cuts it up and uses it for dusters.
Yeah. Like, but our listener yesterday. There was cut up Andy Johnson's shirt.
I can't remember who the player was, but someone from a non-league team played in the FA Cup. And he asked, you could see it on the screen, he asked to swap shirts with one of the league players. It was a kind of Premier League player. And the Premier League player took the shirt off. The guy was going to give him his shirt, and he basically said, no, you're all right.
That's what I mean.
But take it, though.
Take it anyway.
Don't say, no, you're all right, mate. I've got enough dusters. So it's not nice, is it? Just take the shirt, whatever you're going to do with it. You know, make it look like you care, even if you don't. It might not make it on one of those... remember Steven Gerrard's house where he had all the dummies in glass cases?
Yeah, lovely.
Constantly revolving, showing you the shirts. Beautiful. I doubt if he'll do that with one of the Dalhousie Hamlet players' shirts, Ronaldo. But
Christian Eriksen's got Pascal Gross's shirt going around on a display
every shirt.
Case.
I was once told that some players went round to a footballer's house and he had all his shirts up framed in his games room.
Hmm.
And the player had to go out to pick his missus up from somewhere and left the boys, the full squad, in his games room surrounded by all his signed shirts.
That's probably not a good idea.
And when he returned, half an hour later, they were all playing snooker in the shirts.
Oh.
They'd taken all the frames down, taken the shirts out and put them on.
It's very childish.
Quite funny.
Yeah,
so imagine funny, that moment when he walked in and wondered why. So, hang on, he seems to be wearing Cristiano Ronaldo's. And then that sudden realisation when the walls were bare and knowing the amount of work and possibly cash you're going to take to put it back.
Not ideal. Mm. Now, you know, we often talk about the jump racing season. It ends.
Yeah, the end.
And then it starts again.
It's
a 24-hour
break, isn't it?
It's about a week.
Are you sure? A week.
It is a week, in fact. But Richard Johnson is unhappy because they've scheduled a meeting.
He feels it's too long.
No, they've scheduled a meeting during the annual break.
He's getting rusty.
So they're not even having the 7 days this year. They've put a meeting right in the middle of it.
Oh, wow.
And he's not happy because he likes to, you know, be
he likes to have that, luxuriate in that week's holiday.
Well, they do. They all need that week's break.
Do you know, this afternoon, just for a bit of fun, I'm going to dip into some old programmes because we've had this box. We're up in the little desk that we kind of hot desk on presenters. It's a big box of programmes that was sent to us by a TalkSport listener. And I kick them every day and never look at them. But there's some gold in there. For example, who can possibly forget the game on Saturday the 10th of January 1998 between Hartlepool United FC and Exeter City?
It's not signed by Jeff Stelling, is it?
None of these are signed. I don't know if the listener went along. But the programme notes, the manager's programme notes, Mick Tate, they call it Tatey's Pickings. Tatey's Pickings doesn't entice.
Tatey's Pickings sounds quite foul, really.
It doesn't entice. Basically, these could be written by a kind of manager's programme notes generator, always, couldn't they?
They could.
There should be a programme, so you just kind of press F6 for the first paragraph. Welcome back to insert name of ground here for our something home match this week. We all hope the result is better than result that didn't go well in the auto windscreen shield against Scunthorpe. Yeah. We've now lost in certain games here at home this season, both in the cup. I can't criticise the way the lads played on insert day here. You could just easily do
absolutely.
It. F9.
Were you making that up or is that actually?
This is what it actually said. Thank you for your support. It's been tremendous with over put number of fans here at Notts County. And
let's have a look at the players. See if there's any players that went on to do something else from 1998.
Here we are. Let's look at any names that stand out. Jump
out at you there, Cristiano
Noel
Ronaldo.
Blake was playing for Exeter. They'd always had some interest.
Was he on his way down or on his way?
Oh, yeah, it's 1998. Yeah. I don't think he was in the prime of his career, was
no.
he? Okay. Well, I will go through some of those this afternoon. We may return because I've also got Walsall versus Mansfield in 1986, and who can possibly forget that? And of course, it's the Four Members Cup quarter final, February 1987, between Norwich and Portsmouth. And there'll be some gold in this, no doubt.
Tremendous. I also last night, you remember I've been compiling. Do you remember I said to you I had a proud boast that I reckoned I could do 150 different voices?
Yeah.
So I started compiling the list. So I haven't finished the list yet. I'll go through some of the names on the list.
150 voices. Yeah. Look, we can't wait.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we will be joined by Steve First, the actor and comedian. We're going to talk about skateboarding. We rarely do that, but it's going to be an Olympic sport in 2020.
That was comma we're going to talk about. So we're not going to talk about skateboarding with Steve First.
Well, he may have a point. He may want to talk about that. I don't know.
He might.
But, because it's an Olympic sport, but it may be that Team GB aren't there because they have no money.
Well, it's the old story, isn't it? You know, chasing medals rather than developing sports that a lot of kids could be interested in.
Yeah, well, they'll be making their case to us a little bit later on. We are going through these old programmes, Andy. Oh, yeah. And I picked out three at random from a whole huge box. One, an old Walsall Mansfield game, one Hartlepool United versus Exeter, and Norwich in the Four Members Cup, the quarterfinal against Portsmouth.
What a great game that must have been.
Well, Noel Blake features in two of these programmes, picked out of probably about 100 in the box. That
maybe they're Noel's personal collection.
Guess who's playing number 10 for Pompey? One Mickey Quinn.
Oh, really?
Or Mike Quinn.
Oh, really?
As he is here, as he's called by the Norwich side. A lot of familiar names. Brian Gunn and Steve Bruce. Mike Phelan.
That must be. When's that
Ian
from?
Butterworth. This is 1987. Robert Rosario, Dale Gordon.
I remember Robert Rosario.
The old Norwich fans, there's a little tear in their eyes. We go through some of those great old names. Later on, Andy, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to tell you the player's name, and you've got to guess who they were sponsored by in the Norwich. No, the kind of business. For example, Dale Gordon. Dale, a fine man. Quite dapper these days. That's not a clue, of course, as he was then.
I'd say
his little pencil moustache.
Trucking company, something like that.
No, it was Offord's News Agents.
Really?
Anyway, just a flavour of what you can expect later
Offord's
on in the show.
Offord's News Agents.
Yeah. Unless we'll try
but
and
it's still paying off.
You'll never guess who Steve Bruce was sponsored by. Well, I'll tell you later on.
Okay.
Let's move on. Borough, among a number of sides, trying to get back into the Premier League. And the boys have been getting together now and again in a sort of team-building exercise. And one of the things they've done was at Cluedini in Yarm.
A clever title.
Yeah, it is clever, isn't it? Cluedini, where basically a number of the Borough players were locked in a room. I'm sure there's many Borough fans who said, yeah, any chance of doing that between 3 o'clock and 4:45 on a Saturday? But no, locked in a room and then can only get out by solving puzzles and cracking codes. Catherine Younger is from Cluedini. Good afternoon, Catherine.
Hiya there, guys.
So,
hi.
What's it? You get a lot of this. I suppose you got a lot of businesses and sports teams coming along for a bit of a team bonding, building exercise type thing.
Yeah, all sorts of people come over, so we get a lot of businesses in. We do get a lot of sports teams. Normally, a lot of the amateur ones like to come in. It's a great team activity and an evening get together away from the pitch. So yeah, we get lots of different people coming along, as well as just families and friends and things like that.
Looking at the website, one room, 1 hour, one mission, unlock the puzzles, crack the codes, solve the clues and get out. Sounds like quite a lot of fun. Is it an original idea or had you seen it somewhere else?
We first did our first escape room over in Manchester about 3 years ago now. And we just came away, we did it as a family with our daughter, and we just came away thinking it's such a great thing to be able to do something totally different to the cinema and bowling and things like that. And at the time, there was nothing in the area, so we just thought, actually, well, maybe we could bring that to the area. It took us a little bit of time, but we got there. And we've now got a branch in Yarm, which is a very small little town just near Middlesbrough, and another venue over in Darlington, which is a little bit further away, but a little bit larger as well.
Yarm is where they train, isn't it, Middlesbrough? I remember going there once.
If it's still the training ground, it could well be. So what happens after the hour if they've not? They don't leave them there. There's not still people locked up in rooms around Yarm, are there, Catherine?
Yeah, huge cupboard. No, yeah. No. We let people out. It'd be a really bad business model, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be, really. Long white beards. Yeah, about 10 years later when you go back. Yeah. Well, I mean, love
when they get out, we go and chat it to them and sort of talk them through kind of how they got on with the different puzzles, what they enjoyed, you know, kind of what they found a bit more tricky, and answer any questions they've got. And then typically they all go and escape to somewhere nice and maybe a meal or a drink in the town.
Patrick Bamford admitted that they'd failed. The quote was, he said, it was quite hard to crack the codes. For the first 10 minutes, we were walking around aimlessly thinking, how do we start this?
He's quite a bright guy, Patrick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And by the end, we were cracking on. If we'd had 5 more minutes, oh yeah, they all say that, don't they? Yeah, 5 minutes injury time, we'd have got out, but we didn't. So effectively, they were. I mean, it would have been great if you know, if you were a fan of a rival club, if you were a Sunderland fan, for example, you could have left them in there, couldn't you?
Well, to be honest, my husband was absolutely gutted that I was hosting the game because he was over in Darlington at the time.
Ah.
And I'd be honest, I'm not a massive football fan, and that's to be a bit of an understatement.
So you didn't know any of these boys were when they came in? No, you didn't know any of them?
Not when they first arrived. No. Not when they first arrived. It was only afterwards, and I'd put the team sheet in, and I thought, actually, I do recognise a couple of these names from my husband, Chanon. So we obviously had Briss Asombalonga in, and Lewis Baker was with them as well. So they were quite recognisable names. So quite quickly, I put two and two together, came up with the right answer. But they got exactly the same experience as everyone else. You know, they didn't escape. And like they said, you know, they spent the first, say, 10, maybe 12 minutes wandering around not knowing what to do.
Right.
And that is absolutely common when people first do an escape room.
Yeah. Yeah,
and obviously, if they got that time back at the end, I think they probably only needed about 3 or 4 more minutes to get out of there.
Ooh, so
they did do really well.
You're backing up what they said.
Who came up with the title? It's a very clever title, Cludini.
Do you know, my mother-in-law is going to be so happy. Because she came up with the idea when we were first coming up with the names, different names, and she just said it, and we just thought, you know, that is really good. It does work. It does exactly what it says. Mm. But equally, it's not anything as obvious as Escape Room Yarn.
Yeah.
Because it also says encourages teamwork. So do the teams have to work together? It's not good enough just having one person who's absolutely brilliant at solving the clues?
Yeah, it our room's very much, you're going to get further through if you work together on things. Mm. And it's a combination of sort of knowing where your strengths are, talking to other people, communicating and telling them what you're doing, because they'll have seen something that's going to help you out and vice versa. And then every now and again, you know, she might end up working in pairs or in a three and then splitting up and swapping over. And it really comes down to that good teamwork that gets people through it. And I have to say, their teamwork was fab. I mean, I think to some extent that might have been a bit of a hindrance to them, because there was only 3 of them at that time. It probably slowed them down a bit because there's so much to do in the room.
Mm.
That because they were working on everything together in the initial stages, they probably didn't get through the puzzles with quite the pace they did as they started working on different things and then coming back together when they needed to.
I wonder if the manager fined them when they got back. I doubt it. But if you know, if Britt Asombalonga and Patrick Bamford link up brilliantly and get Burr up, then you can claim,
yes,
Catherine, that you played a part in that at Clue.
Well done, Catherine. So, yeah.
Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
No problem. Take care, guys.
Excuse me. Catherine Younger there from Cludini in Yarm. And they've got frequently asked questions, Andy.
Do I have to guess who is sponsoring Steve Bruce before you let me out of the studio today?
Yeah, that's it. You are. OK, go on then. What line of business? The Roll of Honour. Sponsors for players, match and training kits. Steve Bruce, then Norwich centre-half.
Local hairdressers.
No, I'm looking here for a local hairdresser. Was there one who looked after someone else? No. Of course, you'll know this. Hemming, Graham and Paul, the chartered accountants.
Ah, yes.
They were sponsoring Steve at the time. I'm sure that was
probably
nice.
Still do his books.
Country People, Country Ways. Graham Benstead could call upon the work of Crop Care Chemicals. They looked after him. This is Ian Culverhouse.
Ian Culverhouse.
The man that spawned a game, which isn't at all like another game on Radio 4. good afternoon, Max and Barry. Murrell's Chartered Accountants were very big for the side at the time. And Brian Gunn, old mate Gunny, Jacobs and Rob opticians. Not great for a goalkeeper, that, is it? Well, they were getting that there, Brian. Not good. Anyway, we'll dip once again into these programmes from back in the day.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy Jacobs has promised to give us one of his 42 voices a little bit later on. Oh, yeah. I imagine they'll all sound much the same.
They will.
Let's speak to now a man who he can certainly do more than that, but do them well. He's an actor, comedian, and you can go and see him in action. It's Steve First. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. People would know you, I think, from a lot of different stuff. If they were going out on the comedy scene a few years back, they would know you as the great Lenny Beige.
Indeed.
Which is a great kind of cabaret.
Still doing Lenny.
Artiste.
Still walking my tawdry wears.
It's funny, I mean, you've done lots of stuff, but people will also remember you from those series of ads for Orange, the cinema ads that you did for a long time.
I did them for about 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And those adverts, because you used to get the adverts, the normal adverts for product selling.
Just 20 yards from this cinema.
Yeah. Well, if only. And then you'd have the trails for the film, and then you'd have the ad to tell you to turn your phone off. Mm-hmm. So everybody saw those ads if you went.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The cinema for 5 years.
They were excellent ads.
They were very good. And they kind of spawned a load of copycat stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Lenny Beige was, of course, based on Frankie Vaughan.
Amongst many people, but Frankie particularly with the high leg kick.
Yeah.
When I realised I could do a high leg kick, because Frankie Vaughan was famous for, you know, kicking cocking the leg up and give me the moonlight.
I used to do Frankie Vaughan's jacket.
Did you?
Yeah.
That sounds like a fanzine.
Exactly. When we did fantasy football, I used to entertain David and Frank with
your Frankie Vaughan.
Frankie Vaughan.
Oh, is that right?
At the end of the first series, they got me a signed photo from Frankie.
Yeah.
And he says, "You're more like me than me."
That's nice.
Signed it. Yeah.
That's
wasn't true, of course.
Yeah. Of course it wasn't.
Like all my impersonations, it was.
Did you two turn down Marilyn Monroe, which, of course, he used to dine out on that story?
Oh, yeah.
So Frankie Vaughan said, because he was going to get his big break in America. Mm. So he's going to be the great kind of British hope. And went out there and had dinner with Marilyn, and he was like, "No, I'm a married man. I want to go back to Totteridge at the end of this." Yeah. And you know,
well done to him.
Yeah.
Steve First in character.
Yeah,
you've got some different characters that you're doing.
I've got five or six.
Five. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
One of which is Ernie Vass.
Yeah.
The Walser owner.
The Walser owner. The fairground. Scream if you want to go faster. When the red light flickers, hold on to your knickers and push her out down the end and make room for a friend. It is those kind of characters that you grew up with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That were in the periphery of your childhood that have always interested me, those kind of weird and wonderful characters that we're all losing.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that he's a man who's holding on to what was, you know, the funfair, which was, you know, was a great thing for a kid. And now with the advent of super parks and extraordinary theme parks, they're just a bit rubbish.
Well, I mean, if you were say 2 18-year-old girls in the Dodgem about 25 years ago, from nowhere,
careful,
a 40-year-old teddy boy would appear and start chatting you up, jump on the back,
same in the water,
and start chatting you up.
Give you a spin,
exactly. Wouldn't he? Extra spin. Because
and there was that thing. I mean, you know, it had that sort of slightly fly by night. Grey area of, you know, people that were on the move. They were a little bit itinerant. They were kind of, what were you on the move from? Why are you keeping, you know, what do you need to travel so much?
And the kind of carny boys, weren't they, in the American tradition. Really.
Rough, but roguish, you know? And I just think, you know, those characters are being lost. And I've always enjoyed characters that are a bit dark and that have, you know, they've got a story to tell.
Well, you've got a former Hollywood stuntman as well, Dave Pike.
Dave Pike, you can keep your feet on the ground and your hands out of the fire. And Dave has, as basically everybody he's worked with, something's happened to. Yeah. He's not the greatest stuntman in the world.
Oh, dear.
I used to like that program with Lee Majors, the stuntman. It was
Fall Guy.
The Fall Guy.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a bit on the nose of the stuntman.
It was the Fall Guy. That's it.
And, of course, I mean, because I'm filming something at the moment, and the actors talk. They like to talk. And the chat did come around to stunt people, and they are an extraordinary breed of people, and they are indestructible. And there's something about the British stuntman, you know, it's like that thing of that derring do. They you can knock them down. They've got every bone's broken. They wear it like a badge of honour.
Yeah. Mm.
So yeah, again, fascinating breed of people.
I mean, when you kind of speak to those guys and you kind of see these films, the making of, and you've got a bloke like your Dave Putt, and he's saying they're driving into the wall. And then I'm on fire.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Oh, no, that was no problem. Yeah. No. And I think that, again, that badge of honour. And each one's a little box tick. Yeah.
It's amazing. You've got Lynn. Yeah. You say, a female. Is this a female character?
Lynn is a super fan. And the kind of super fan that you probably, you know, that you wake, if you're a celebrity, you wake up and she's in your wheelie bin. And, you know, that's the beauty of being on radio, is that, you know, you can kind of carry on your life without people being too aware of your face. But I think, Queenie's an interesting one. Queenie's the one that's the hardest to explain because he's a violent criminal.
Oh, he's a he, okay.
But he's a very camp, effete sort of... He went to prison for something that he did,
right,
and he's very open about it, in order to help his mother.
Oh, okay.
And in the process, he hates lawyers. He hates lawyers and he hates bankers and he hates people that he was kind of from.
Mm.
And in prison, he learned to become a fighting machine, but he's the most unlikely fighting machine. And again, it's the kind of, on the face of it, it tells one story. The reality is a completely different story.
This must be a joy, I suppose, as you get just to do, you know, I mean, you did a very successful character for a long time around, but so the chance to go out and do five must be a lot of fun.
It's lovely, and I've got a new one called, he's a Christian swinger, who preaches the word of the Lord, but by sleeping with other people.
Okay.
And the
mayor of Kentish Town.
Is he
the viral internet sensation?
He's the viral internet sensation.
Is it?
And he's like that... He's a fast talking, and he's the proper mayor of Kentish Town, and he's not, and he doesn't, you know, there's no flim flam involved. He's very, very bright, but he's very, very of the moment. He's very on the street. So you think he's an idiot, but he ain't an idiot. He's very loquacious. He's very understanding. He's very, he's one of those people that he speaks a lot of truth, but the way he speaks it is odd.
Now you think I'm going to do my voices after that?
Well, exactly. Well, please don't. You've just made a film about wrestling. We're
like
both
a big
lovers of wrestling. Walk Like a Panther. Great British cast it had, didn't it? Fantastic.
Yep,
Julian Sands, Stephen Graham, Sue Johnson.
Jill Halfpenny. And it's one of the... It's a proper heartwarming family film about a group of wrestlers being put back together in order to get back in the ring and save their pub from being bulldozed and turned into whatever it... flats, luxury flats.
Mm.
And it's up north and it's kind of... It feels like it's of the moment in that way.
Mm.
And it's a proper... You know, it's a proper British comedy film. It's very heartwarming. It's in that kind of full Monty
Yeah, that's right. You kind of got
tradition.
From what I saw of the trailer, that you get that feel. So were you a wrestler?
I'm the promoter.
Oh, you're the promoter.
Popsie Wilson Jr. And he's like, you know, he's got a bit of a checkered past, as a lot of wrestling promoters. You know, again, that kind of slightly fly by night. He's got, you know, I've got a midget hip hop extravaganza, and they're called Shrink Rap. And so he's on the kind of slightly, you know, in that netherworld.
Like a Broadway Danny Rose, but from a UK version of that.
Why don't more people know that film?
It's it's fantastic.
It's a phenomenal piece of
it
work.
Is brilliant. Oh,
it
is.
It's in
now,
my top
this
10.
Show,
I think we all preferred his earlier, funnier stuff.
Oh, we did.
He actually says in one of his own films.
Very, very much so.
This
show
is
only on for one night only, which is, it seems a shame, really.
Well, do you know what? It's one of these things that I've revisited it, so I keep adding characters or take one away, and this is part of the Underbelly Festival, which is the big festival over the road on the South Bank.
Oh yeah.
In June the 15th on a Friday night, but I'm also, I'll be kind of revisiting it, putting it on other places on odd nights, and I don't like to do that whole going on the road for 30 date tour thing. If I'm filming, I'll book something in about 2 months' time.
Yeah.
And then look forward to doing that. And then, you know, it's keeping all the balls up in the air.
So if people want to come and see you in action, there might be a bit of a show that turns up. Can they follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me on Twitter. Go to my website, which is stevefurst.com, stevefurst.com. And I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and all of the social medias. All of them. The big platforms. And may I say, it's quite weird meeting you both here, because I'm upstairs doing
voiceovers. So you've said our name a lot.
Jacobs. Yeah, whatever time it is. You know, are you on at 1 o'clock till three?
One till four.
God, they work you hard.
Well, some of the trailers you've done for us. Can you remember?
They
just come in.
You maybe have sung a few.
You read it off a sheet and
like a chimpanzee, and then, you know, it's like, and it's, but it's those. They've got a brilliant couple of people upstairs who write the trails.
Yeah.
And actually, this is one of the rare ones that you come in to do promos that you never quite know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Who you're going to be playing.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good to see you, Steve.
You
thanks
too.
Very much.
Thank you very much.
And
thank
all the
you
very
both.
Best. Steve Furst in character.
Enjoy the weather.
Yeah, indeed, we will. You can go and see him in action at the Underbelly Festival.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, it's Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport, where we're off to South America with Tim Vicker, as always, on Wednesday to get the very latest there. Sergio Aguero's having a little bit of a holiday before the World Cup.
Yes.
Although he's dancing, he'll be back sooner than everybody said. He will play again this season. But why risk him from City's point of view?
No, absolutely.
The job is done. We'll talk boxing and, a bit more money for UK anti-doping. They often say we don't have the money or resources to find the drug cheats. Well, that's been upped fairly considerably. So, and sniffer dogs will be amongst the many weapons
I didn't think that could work. That's incredible.
Yeah. We'll find out a bit more about that later on. Sniffing around everybody's kit bag at an athletics meeting. I suppose that's the way it's got to work, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is, yeah.
Okay, well, that's all to come. In the meantime, Andy, this another little survey. Yesterday we brought you news of that survey that complaining more often, talking about your ailments and forgetting people's names, among the signs you're getting old. And I don't want to rub this in, but it says here, how to write a formal letter, wire a plug, and multiply without a calculator are skills the over-55s are better at than millennials.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
and
true.
And can you do any of these things? Managing money, you're pretty good at that, aren't you?
Yeah, not bad.
Ironing, good ironer?
No.
Sewing on buttons?
Pretty hopeless.
Really?
Hmm.
Spelling?
Okay. Great, but not terrible.
Grammar? Yeah. Apparently the kids don't care about grammar.
No, I know. It's a shame, really.
It's a shame. Poor old grammar. So there we are. That's it. It didn't really take us anywhere, but I thought I'd share it with you.
It's fair enough. Did you see those photos of... they're quite horrible, actually. People are unhappy about it on social media. The Russian bear...
Yeah, it was appalling.
...that was handing the ball to... I'd love to see the same bear attack the FIFA dignitaries at the World Cup.
Really?
Yeah. Go tear into Infantino.
Go on the rampage.
It'd be marvellous.
Well, you know, to be honest, that wasn't FIFA's handiwork. I mean, I don't think they're going to be taking that into the World Cup, are they? It wouldn't be a great idea. Let's keep the bear involved. It was pretty horrible to watch, wasn't it, really? Handing the match ball to the referee.
Now, I know you don't take striker.
Buffon's opening. He's going to try and train it, won't he, I would imagine, to get hold of the ref.
Exactly. Now, I know you're... you're not as big a fan of Stryker as I am, the Sun, excellent
well,
Sun.
I dip in and out now and again. Yeah.
I love it. And I'm delighted because the World League is in danger of collapse.
Yeah, this is you weren't interested. You thought they jumped the sharp with that storyline.
And Warbury are pulling out, but this week they're away to Darwin.
Oh, right.
I'm not going. It's far too far for an away fixture.
It's quite tough, isn't it, really?
It's a ridiculous
concept. That was always the problem with the World League.
Yeah.
That and the fact it wasn't true and it's a comic strip. They were two of the things I noticed.
Yeah, those are the things that are really good.
You ever heard of Colin Bland, Andy? I think you have.
Oh, Colin Bland, one of the greatest fielders. The sort of Jaunty Rhodes of his
Derek
day.
Derek Randall type fielder.
Yeah. Or just, brilliant fielder.
Colin Bland, he was terrible. He's just died, 80. He was South African. And he was the first of the superstar fielders, as Andy said. And one day, apparently, South Africa were on a tour, 1965, tour of England. Hmm. And the Kent captain, Colin Cowdrey, said, put on a little turn for the crowd. And he said, yeah, I don't mind if I do. So he did a bit of a fielding exhibition. And he picked the ball up and threw it whilst running full tilt and hit the stumps 12 times out of 15.
It's pretty brilliant. Impressive. And everything you take for granted in the IPO, everything, this wonderful fielding that you now see in modern cricket, he was the sort of start of that.
Yeah.
And funny, there's so much good stuff. When I saw that he passed this morning, I just went on to try and find some footage of him on YouTube. And there's amazing stuff from that South African tour, like Jonas introducing a sort of whole filmed thing with it. What a different time it was. Cricket did look a very different game.
Yeah, indeed.
Amazing. Anyway, talking of that, I'm up to 52 now.
Now, you claim to be able... You can't tell us all of them for various reasons, but you claim
to
be able
to... I can tell you.
You're a man... You're a man... No, some of them don't even want to know that you do, because I think they'll get you into trouble as well.
So you're a man... saying that you can do it.
Just saying you can do them. Just
you know I'm very unhappy about this.
Let me be the filter. So... So you claim to do 52. Give us a selection of some of the voices that you can do.
I won't do the voices, but because you've heard them.
You think you can do impressions of all these people?
All right, I'll list them, and if you want to hear me do them, then I'll John Arlott. You don't want to hear me do that. You've heard me do that many times. Bill Shankly, Mr. Kipling, Roy Hodgson.
That wasn't the bloke's name, Mr. Kipling. It wasn't really him. It was a bloke with a voice over
Hayter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Oh, we hate James Hayter. We hate James. We are the James Hayters.
If people are thinking, isn't that his Roy Hodgson? It's basically one impression.
It's not by Roy Hodgson.
42, very, very slight.
I mean, Roy Hodgson doesn't do that.
That was Tony Soprano.
That wasn't. My Tony Soprano is slightly different to that.
Okay.
Rugby league man. Bruce Forsyth, I won't bother with that. Tommy Cooper. Howard Handley.
You can't do Tommy Cooper.
Of course I can do Tommy Cooper.
No, you can't. I've never heard you do Tommy Cooper.
Just like that. Well, anybody
oh, everybody can just say, just like that.
What a bar.
And Sean Dyche, you're absolutely right. The producer makes it. It's just basically one impression he does. The man of one voice, Andy Jacobs.
Howard Handley.
Who's he?
He was my sports teacher at primary school.
What
Jacobs,
sound...
get in goals, he used to say to me.
I take it he was Welsh?
He was Welsh, yeah.
Yeah?
He's probably no longer. I don't know, he might be with us still.
Your teachers aren't still alive, are they?
He might be.
For goodness sake.
That's true, actually. He would have been about 25 and I was about 10.
Wow.
So that's,
Yeah, it does say, well, I mean, they might
well,
be.
Well, he might
but...
be about 80 now.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you're out there, Mr. Handley, still telling people to get in goals.
John Gwynne. John Gwynne's a bit like my Peter Dixon. I can only do it by just saying his name.
It's so no good yet.
Doesn't count. What have I got here? Oh, Joe Grundy from The Archers.
Cool. Wow, it's all zeitgeisty, this, isn't it?
Peggy Woolley, I'll do her as well.
You know Luke Kempner, are you? I can't see you on Murder in Successfield doing any of these.
Howard Cosell, Lloyd Hannigan. That's quite good, my Lloyd Hannigan.
Yeah.
You don't want me to do that?
No.
Mr. Humphreys.
No, I'm just saying I'm free doesn't make you an impressionist.
Sean Dyche, as you mentioned there.
Sean
David
Dyche,
Wagner, Paul Lambert. Generically, I do Welsh, Dutch, French.
Are you looking for work? It's like you're touting for work.
I am actually.
Have my own uniform.
My wife's actually actively engaged in trying to get me voiceover work at the moment.
She's not, is she?
She is, yeah. I've given her a task. Apparently, I need a showreel. I said, sure, I don't need a showreel. I'm on every day. That's my showreel, 1 to 4.
Really, I wouldn't be sending them what you do. I wouldn't be sending them what you do on here, mate, really. That's a massive
That's
mistake.
Very harsh.
Yeah.
What, when I read the ads and everything, when I do the
Dean
reads?
Cooper thought Tommy Cooper was the dog from That's Life.
Yeah, thanks very much. Various cricket commentators, some I can't mention, as you say. Tony Soprano,
yeah,
Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando.
Oh, Marlon Brando. Yeah, but yeah. I need the tissues.
You need Cotton War tissues in your mouth. It's only really it's Marlon Brando in The Godfather, not in anything else, isn't it? Really?
Barney Rubble.
It's a very old. This is like a sort of act from the Will Tappers and Shunders. None of your impressions have moved on since about 1973. Have
they haven't really. Ian Gwyn Hughes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Antonio Conte, you heard the other day. Brian Clough.
Yeah.
Frank Spencer.
Frank
Stepstone. These are all
Aidan J. Jacobs.
Peter O'Sullivan.
That'll do. Oh, I mean, you've really got to start bringing these up a bit more.
W. Barrington Dolby. Are you telling me there's no call for that?
If you can get some voiceover work doing him, good luck with that. Good luck, Sue. Anyway, right. Let's hear from... let's talk fashion now.
Yeah. I mean, I created this. You do know this originally.
What's that?
Rugby league.
You created rugby
league. I had
league.
To hand it over because I couldn't
because
do
Because you
it.
Couldn't do the voice.
Oh, phone, I couldn't do it very much. You know, that's I could right. only do it for... So I sort of ran out of air. So I had to find an heir apparent, which I did.
That's right. And
he's much better at it than I am.
He certainly is. And he does... This is Harry. What are you talking about? He's not a voice. It's how he speaks. He's rugby league, man.
Come on.
He exists. And here he is with his fashion summer crib sheet.
This summertime.
Finally, the temperatures are rising. And here's a summer crib sheet for you. While summer is an obvious improvement on winter, it's not without its challenges. As food, fashion and summer collide, the burning question is, what do you put on your vegan barbecue? The key is to stick to vegetables that you can append the word steak to. Thickly sliced wedges of cauliflower, aubergine or celeriac, asparagus and thinly sliced courgettes. And finally, it's all about fake tan. I hate applying fake tan, but I hate having glow-in-the-dark legs more. Here's how you do it. Don't bother exfoliating. First, rub body lotion into your knees, ankles and elbows. Then apply Saint-Tropez Self-Tan Express Bronzing Mousse everywhere, apart from on your hands and feet. Leave it on for an hour for a very light tan, or longer if you want to be darker. Anyway, I'll leave you with Will Smith. The Fresh Prince of Bel Air. I guess that makes me the Fresh Prince of Wakefield Trinity's Ground Bellevue.
Nice, nice link.
Nice link there. Nice.
Yeah, they'll all be.
I enjoyed that.
They'll all be rubbing in the fake tan in the
Hilary DeVay. My Hilary DeVay. That was very.
You going back to your impressions now, right?
Just some that I haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
Trevor Bailey.
Well, good luck. Good luck to you in your quest for voiceover work with that scattergun eclectic mix of essentially the
just
same.
Just a showreel. Just do them all.
Just the same voice. You do a good Michael Winner says that.
Oh
yes,
that was always game. Very popular. My Winner. Yeah, that's very Kipling. The Winner.
Well, it's all Kipling.
It's all Kipling.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
So there we are. Maybe we should have a little TalkSport team clue, Deanie, at some point. You'd still be in there, wouldn't you? That's the way to get your beard growing.
I'm so hopeless at anything like that. I'd be absolutely useless.
Skeleton about a month, yeah. Anyway, I'll catch up with you at the tail end of next week. Andy and Max back tomorrow. Thanks, as always, for downloading us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.